Park.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
Real life stories of the Legal Exchange. Sundays 2 to 3, AM 1120, WBNW.
The following program is wholly sponsored and produced by Stu Taylor on Business, which is responsible for its content. The opinions and information provided on today's show are those of the guests and or their respective companies and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of this station. It is strongly recommended that all listeners conduct their own due diligence on all companies mentioned and or seek out the advice and counsel of a financial professional. The guests on this show may pay a fee to appear on the show and are not affiliated with the show in any manner. This is Stu Taylor on Business. Now, Stu Taylor.
All right, hope it's a great morning where you are, Stu Taylor, and it's a great morning to be alive, to breathe that fresh air. And thank you all for joining us. I do want to first offer an apology since I've been promoting this every day this week. And Jim Cook, Quench Your Thirst, Sam, the founder and brewer of Samuel Adams Beer, had to take won't say it's an emergency, but he had to take a sudden flight this morning, sent his apologies, had to cancel the interview, and I promise you we will reschedule it. But joining us later on in the hour, Steve Case, the founder of America Online. Now tell me he hasn't profoundly influenced our society. He's in high gear. He's got a new book out, The Third Wave, an Entrepreneur's Vision of the Future. He'll be joining us later on in the show. So stay tuned. And I do want to say the lines are open here at 888-205-2263. It's 888-205-2263. Feel free to call and discuss what's going on both with the Republicans and the Democrats. Feel free to do it with the Trump campaign, the Hillary campaign, the probable disappearing campaign of Ted Cruz and Bernie Sanders. Well, you know, a guy that people like, but he's a nutcake. He's a radical communist fruitcake who knows very, very little, never accomplished a damn thing in his life other than pull the wool over most of the youth of America. I mean, it's pretty difficult when you say make a choice. And someone says if you're a Democrat and you're going to vote Democrat, make a choice between Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton. Well, let's see. Should I have a firing squad shoot me or should I hang myself? But I still, only because of my intense hatred on a personal level for Hillary Clinton, and I don't have that personal hatred for Bernie Sanders. You know, the burn is on. You know, I keep getting emails and different communications. The burn is on. You know, he's really pulled the wool over a lot of people's eyes. When I think back to what Bernie Sanders should be best known for, it's saying that in articles that he wrote years ago, I guess in the 70s, that women enjoyed being raped. This is the legacy of Bernie Sanders. Bankrupt the country and take the economy, turn it on its ear, and have America just go by the way of Russia. He went to Russia on his honeymoon. Some people say he never came back. Listen, he's a lover of Cuba. He's part of that, that group today that is taking America and sticking a knife into its back. Oh, and as far as a comment that I do want to make on transgenders, I said this, I think, on yesterday's show, but it's so impactful, I want to say it again. The world is fighting terrorism. The world is fighting poverty. the world is fighting pestilence, and people are walking around wondering and demanding that men can go into women's bathrooms, show their private parts, just because they feel they're women. Now, I'm not going to boycott Target. I'm not going to go to those extremes. I mean, I could think of a lot of things that I'd boycott. I'd never support Target. Transgender bathrooms. And all of this, I mean, it's ludicrous. We have real serious problems, and this is where the Democrats are focusing their efforts. Transgenders, you know, which, by the way, represents 0.1% of the population. You got to be nuts. How about one-armed Asian men with ponytails missing an eye? Well, why can't we cater to them? I do want to say on a sad note, and it's a sad note for me, too, because as little as I follow some of these legends, I have to say that the passing of Prince was a major loss to the industry. And I put him up there with Jimi Hendrix and a couple of others. And one of my three closest friends used to do the photography for Jimi Hendrix. it's a sad loss. The number here is 888-205-2263. It's 888-205-2263. On the Republican side, Donald Trump, maybe the master of psychology, maybe as things turn out, a fool. It's pretty tough to call someone a fool who has worked his way around the stupid politicians of America. And he said it when he began. They are stupid. Honest to goodness, they are stupid. When you've got people who could be outsmarted, I'm talking about Jeb Bush, you know, lazy Jeb, little Marco, not quite yet Lion Ted, and these are the nicknames. All of the insults that were leveled, you know that Trump outsmarted everyone. You know what he did? Like in battles, you know, The Art of War, it's a great book to read. Great, one of the greatest books I've ever read, The Art of War. And how to fight this battle, you know what he's done? Trump has created such an incredible strategy based upon his macro knowledge of issues. He's created such an incredible strategy. He's gotten all of his opponents to self-defeat because they played his game. You know, one of the keys in doing business, and I don't mean this in a condescending sense, is to play the game. And I don't mean playing people. I mean playing the game and respecting people. And Trump has outwitted everyone, and he's even dragged Ted Cruz into his little web. Now, here's where I have a difference with Trump, but it may not matter because the American public may not have a great understanding of how the delegate process and the superdelegate process works. But here's where Trump is flat out wrong. He's wrong, but he's right. Let me explain that. He's right that the system is rigged and it's unfair, but it's rigged against everyone. The system is unfair because when you have a popular vote, in the case of going through all of these debates, all of these primaries, and the people have spoken, the people. See, we don't live in a democracy anymore. I don't even think we live in a, I always used to say we live in a constitutional republic. We don't live in either of those. We live in the world of George Orwell, Michael Moore, George Soros, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton. It's a whole move against undermining the Constitution and transforming America, which Barack Obama has done. He say he hasn't achieved, he's destroyed the country. He's achieved everything he set out to do. I've never seen a president achieve more than Barack Obama by his standards. So when you look at the right and the wrong of the voting system, the delegate system, you look at Cruz playing by the rules of the game. If these are the rules, you play by the rules of the game. When I say everybody who has a little bit of smarts plays by the rules of the game, when it comes to paying taxes. You use what legitimate deductions you can use to get the best deal. I absolutely condemn any kind of fraud, any embezzlement, any misrepresentation, any deceit in doing your taxes. But if the rules state that you're able to take a deduction for this and a deduction for that, you could do it. If the rules state that delegates could be the deciding factor, caucuses can be important, and people don't even have to go and vote in order to get... If that's the rule, that's the rule. And you know what I think the solution is? State choice. Even on the transgender issue, and transgenders, I don't know how I could even spend 30 seconds devoting my time to this. It should be in the hands of the states to make most decisions. And I think Trump said that. I have to say his statement was really ambiguous regarding transgender bathrooms and North Carolina policy. I'm not sure I could quite follow it. But the advantage of Trump doing this, and I don't think it's consciously, I don't think this is a, I think this is Trump. I think this gives him leeway to say, that's not what I meant. People are taking what I said out of context. And I can understand that being a case because of several debatable and controversial issues that have come upon us. And Trump says, no, it's not what I meant. They're twisting it. In some cases, he's right. In other cases, he's twisting it. But ladies and gentlemen of the jury, that's politics. All right, more back with Paul. When I say more back with politics, Charles Krauthammer says everything is political. We'll come back.
There's more than one way to invest in your education. Investing in the right products, securities, and real estate generates secure and sound futures. What about an investment that retains its value? Consider college real estate. College real estate can provide housing for students and generate returns for their families. Through this special offer from Austin iLabs, you can download the free workbook from collegerealestate.com to see if this investment is right for you. Go to collegerealestate.com/radio.
All right, guys. We're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's going to get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no. We'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait. A family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
Reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-933-5775. That's 800-933-5775.
If you have sore joints, discover a breakthrough in joint health. Cosamin ASU. A unique patented formula, Cosamin ASU goes to work fast on a cellular level inside your joints. Its active ingredients are shown to inhibit specific enzymes that break down cartilage as you age, helping protect the joint cushioning cartilage important for comfortable activity. Try Cosamin ASU at Costco.com and other fine retailers.
This is a national health care alert from the Health Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You could qualify for a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost to you. Get free delivery, and all the paperwork is handled by our accredited suppliers at no charge to you. So if you're on Medicare and have knee pain, don't wait. You may qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost. Friendly agents are standing by 24/7 to help you. We also have other pain-relieving braces, too, for your shoulder, ankle, or back. You may be eligible to get these items and more at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Our friendly representatives are standing by now to help you, so please call now.
Call 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301. Again, 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301.
Today, more than ever, Americans need a means to protect their life savings. With a troubled economy and government spending out of control, they've been forced to promote loose money policies, which decreases the value of the dollar and promotes inflation. Birch Gold Group can help you protect your savings by rolling over all or a portion of your IRA or 401k into an IRA backed by physical gold. Take advantage of the best gold prices in years and enjoy the long-term hedge against inflation that gold provides by moving into a gold IRA from Birch Gold Group, the precious metal IRA specialists. Call Birch Gold Group today for a free consultation on how a tax-free rollover to a gold IRA can offer stability, protection, and the peace of mind that your life savings, which you've worked so hard to build, is safe. Call 888-999-1351 and receive Birch Gold's free information kit, which offers the best-kept secrets for safeguarding your savings with gold. Call 888-999-1351. That's 888-999-1351.
BizTalkRadio.com.
The Financial Exchange, weekdays 10 to noon, 1120 a.m. WBNW.
This is David Limbaugh, nationally syndicated columnist and author of the new book, Crimes Against Liberty, number one on the New York Times bestseller list. Not trying to brag about that, but just happy about it. I just did a great interview with your host, Stu Taylor, who is one of the best out there. He's on fire. He's almost more on fire than I am. He should have his show. Hey, he does have his show. He is awesome. You're lucky to have him.
All right, we're back. Politics. I guess that's what makes people hate politics and politicians when you look around and you think. Let me say this. I'm a Trump supporter if he's the nominee. I'm a Cruz supporter first if he's the nominee. But if Trump gets 1,236 delegate votes, watch all hell break loose. I don't want it to happen because there's too much at stake. And if the Republican Party implodes, that's just going to give another free ticket to the far left and the progressives in this country, who are, I have to absolutely say, making strong strides towards having a controlling interest in this country. You know, maybe you know the old saying, who would have thought? I never would have thought it would have reached this point. And I'm looking ahead at other things that I never thought would have happened. I remember back in the 70s when they said terrorism would come to the world and would come here as well. And now it's even much more dramatic and threatening and intimidating because our security forces are in national security under Barack Obama has taken a number of steps backward. So we've got a lot of issues on the table to deal with, and I think it heightens in every election. The saying is the same, and it may be true. This is the most important election of our lifetime. Well, I'm going to make a bold, original, insightful, creative statement. Hold on to your seats. This is the most important election of all time. Are you prepared to vote for Hillary Clinton with a resume of the past, I don't know, 25 years of deceit, lying, anti-American behavior, war against women? Yeah, Hillary Clinton. I mean, it could go, I can't even begin. Should I start with Whitewater? Should I start with the Vince Foster, quote, suicide? I don't know whether it was a suicide or not. I always have to tread delicately when it comes to issues where I can be accused of being a conspiracist. Do I think there's a third world order that's about to change the very nature and transform this country? I wouldn't define it that way, but I'd say you've got to look at the Obamas, you have to look at the Clintons, and you have to look at the Bushes. You heard me. You have to look at the Bushes and these insidious relationships that they have with the Saudis. I want you to think about this. You're struggling along. You're making, I don't know how much a year. You got a wife and two kids, and then you have an opportunity to use your influence. And some wealthy Saudi comes and says, hey, listen, how would you like $1 million? Where does temptation stop, or the instinct to succumb to temptation? We're all tempted in our lifetimes. I've been approached in the businesses that I've been in with people who wanted to engage in what I deemed as unacceptable behavior. Not only unacceptable, perhaps from a legal standpoint, we all run into that, but unacceptable from an ethical standpoint. I could have made money on these deals, and maybe nobody would have known. But I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it today. It doesn't matter what the deal or the arrangement is. I wouldn't do it. But the sellout rate in this country, and I don't know whether it's being perpetuated by a whole different demographic in this country. I guess it's always been the case. I mean, I don't want to be naive. It's just been kind of suppressed. But of the magnitude that we have today, the sellouts, the siblings of people in politics, the relatives making just awesome money. Who was it that I just read? $140,000 a month from the Saudis. I think it's Clinton. Oh, John Podesta, I think his brother. Yeah, John Podesta. When you think of the attorneys who helped Hillary navigate and Bill navigate through those tumultuous times of the 90s, you had Lanny Davis and you had John Podesta. There were a couple of others. Podesta is the ultimate hero worshiper. He's revolting. Lanny Davis is about a level. I've had Lanny on this show. In fact, he's got some rather nice things to say about me if we can ever get that testimonial up in the near future. But they're all in the bag. They're in the bag. And if they come on television, if they appear on one of these networks, they know how to deflect information. I'm not better than Chris Wallace and these people doing interviews. That's not what I'm saying. But Ezekiel Emanuel came on, you know, one of Rahm Emanuel's two brothers, trying to defend Obamacare and the fact that a lot of the providers are in the largest ones. I think it's United, are just pulling out. And if you want to go up, just Google the interview. If you have an ounce of knowledge about what's going on and you can just put aside any bias you may have, he's revolting. He couldn't answer. And Chris Wallace is good. You know, he goes at it. He goes at it. He goes at it. There is no answer. And it doesn't matter. It's like asking Hillary a question or Barack Obama a question. Is this what we have to look forward to? And quite frankly, even with Donald Trump, I'm concerned. But you know something? I'm willing to tolerate it. And I'm willing to tolerate it because the outcome of America's future will be much better under Donald Trump than it will under Hillary Clinton. We could spend a lot of time talking about it, just like someone for whom I had great respect for and has just fallen, I've fallen out of love with, Mitt Romney. I think he would have been a fine president. I think he would have been moderate, which at this particular point is acceptable because I don't think a conservative can win this. And even though I'm rooting for Cruz, I'm thinking, how would he do in a debate? He would destroy Hillary in the debate, and he would lose in a landslide, I'm afraid. So here I am in Las Vegas, and I have the dice, and I'm rolling the dice, and I'm saying, is Trump going to be destroyed by Hillary, or will Trump ultimately destroy Hillary in a debate? And you can do it, or it can be done because people don't vote on a micro level. I mean, how many people out there are so well versed in the issues? Trump knows how to avoid that. Hillary has her stock lying answers to everything. I mean, she's had 40 years to rehearse them. You get good at it after a while. But when you have any knowledge about what's going on, and I just plead with people to get educated, plead with them. You can see through most of what they say. When you go to the polls to vote, and it's a ways off here. Just think twice. This is Stu Taylor.
Has your life changed? Are you now in a situation where you need health insurance? Here's some simple advice. Call our health insurance hotline right now. This free service will do all the work for you. Shop the health insurance marketplace and find the plan that best meets your health insurance needs. Don't get lost searching for plans on your own. Let a licensed agent help you for free. According to a report on CNN Money, almost half of those eligible for subsidies are paying less than $3 a day for bronze or silver plans. Remember, under Obamacare, most Americans qualify for health insurance. So get ready to let us do all the work for you and find out the best health insurance plan for your needs. Call this number now.
800-659-7975. 800-659-7975. For your free health insurance quote, call now. 800-659-7975. 800-659-7975.
This is an important message to all listeners. If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes to the IRS, the tax pros at OIC Tax want to help you. OIC Tax is dedicated to helping taxpayers just like you with their IRS problems.
I owed a lot of money to the IRS. I was working long hours and weekends just to make ends meet. To make matters worse, the IRS was about to garnish my wages, and I needed to file several years of back tax returns. Then I called the tax professionals at OIC Tax. They stopped the IRS from garnishing my wages. They even placed my account into the IRS's financial hardship program so I don't have to make any payments to the IRS. That's right, no payments to the IRS while I'm in this program.
Call OIC Tax today to see if you qualify for the IRS's financial hardship program. Call 800-790-5988. Call now and mention you heard this radio commercial and receive 10% off their already low fees. 800-790-5988. That number, 800-790-5988. Call now, 800-790-5988.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing ASAP. We're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we'll give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, call Page Publishing now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation
at 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723.
We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guided Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams.
So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
BizTalkRadio.com.
The Legal Exchange, Sundays 9 to 10 a.m., a.m. 1120, WBNW.
I'm Ralph Nader. I just did an interview with Stu Taylor, and unlike so many radio talk show hosts, he lets you talk, he doesn't over-talk, he doesn't shout, and we can have a good conversation whether or not we agree.
All right, I'm delighted, as I've been saying all week, to have on, and I say this not in a patronizing way, but honestly one of the giants in the tech industry, Steve Case, co-founder of America Online. Ever hear of it? At its peak, it handled nearly half of the U.S. internet traffic. You all know about it. Steve Case has also been involved in startups, also the startup Zipcar, Sweetgreen, and many others. He has a brand-new book out. Yeah, I looked at it. I said, who wrote this? Toffler? And then, well, we're going to address that. It's The Third Wave, an entrepreneur's vision of the future. And it is published by Simon & Schuster in hardcover. And I'd like to welcome you, a special welcome, Steve Case. It's so nice to have you with us.
Thanks, Stu. Great to be with you.
Why did you write the book? I understand why you wrote it in one sense. In the other, you look at Albert. I read Toffler's book years ago in The Third Wave. This was a follow-up, in a sense, to that book. When at that point we were focused, or Toffler was, on the agricultural revolution, the industrial revolution, the information revolution. What steps further does this book take us with the follow-up of the same title?
Well, I read the Toffler book in 1980 when I was still in college, and it really was inspiring, kind of mesmerizing to me. It actually did set me on the path that I've been on for nearly four decades now, of trying to make the internet part of everyday life. It was a pivotal moment. So when I decided to write a book, I've never written a book before. I decided to call it The Third Wave and open it by talking about that story about how Alvin Toffler influenced me and my kind of career trajectory. And I hope my book will be helpful to others who, you know, are thinking about where the world is going. But as you say, the way he framed it was the first wave was around the agricultural revolution. The second wave was sort of the industrial revolution. The third wave was the technology revolution. You know, my framing of it is a little bit different because I'm focusing specifically on the internet. And the first wave was really building the internet. The second wave was building apps and services on top of the internet. And the third wave, which is now beginning to kind of take off, is integrating the internet in seamless and pervasive ways throughout our lives and really change healthcare and education and transportation and energy and food. Pretty big parts of our lives, pretty big, you know, sectors of the economy. That changed a little bit in the first and second wave, but not that much. But will change a lot, I think, in the third wave. But it's going to require a different mindset and sort of a different playbook to be successful in the third wave. And that's what led me to write the book, to try to provide partly my perspective on where things are going, but also some lessons I've learned over the last 30, 40 years.
Yeah, and there were a lot of lessons. We'll try to address that or have you address it later on. But the mindset, and we're talking about technology advancing so fast it's almost incomprehensible to get your hands around it. We talk about growth of companies and what the future will hold. What is the difference in the makeup of entrepreneurs today from what it was back when the internet first started?
Well, when we started AOL 31 years ago, 1985, only 3% of people were online, and those 3% were only online 1 hour a week. So it was pretty early days, and we said we wanted to, get America online. It was a tall task, and really took us a decade to kind of, finally break through. So I think perseverance was one of the things that was really important in that first wave for entrepreneurs, to stick with it, because it was going to be a big challenge. Also, partnerships were very important. You couldn't really do it alone. We partnered with hundreds of companies, hardware companies and software companies and communications companies and content companies. And together, we were able to build AOL, and together kind of make the internet more of a part of everyday life. So partnerships were a big deal. And policy was also a big deal. The government played a critical role in getting the internet going and kind of making sure it got commercialized in the right kind of way. So for us, that was a key part of the playbook for the first wave, you know, perseverance and partnerships and policy. Those three P's were not that important, actually, in the second wave. The last 15 years or so, because it has been more about software, has been more about apps, you know, sometimes there were overnight successes like a Facebook or a Snapchat, and it didn't really require partners. You really could go it alone, and didn't really require engagement with government because this was just really about the apps. But in the third wave, and it really kind of starts, you know, taking on a different role in terms of people's lives and things like food and things like healthcare. You know, it's going to require more perseverance again. It's going to require more partnerships again. It's going to require more engagement on policy again. And that's the framework I try to lay out in the book.
Where would you say the greatest emphasis, the greatest strides will be made regarding now being in this third wave, and what industries it will affect the most? Not necessarily advice for startups where you're involved in. If you've got a great product or a great service, you can be in almost any industry. But where do you think the greatest advantages will lie? I'm guessing healthcare.
Yeah, I think healthcare will certainly be one. And the interesting thing is, people think about the internet, it is amazing how quickly we've come and how short a period, and it's gone from something when we started 30 years ago nobody knew about or really even cared about, to now something we can't live without. And you know, now particularly on our phones, we have apps that we use, you know, frequently. And so it feels like the internet really has had this profound impact on our lives, and it has in a lot of ways, but it still hasn't in some ways that are pretty important. You know, yes, you can use your phone to order a car or order a, you know, pizza, or to figure out what the weather is going to be, or to figure out what the traffic's going to be, which are great things to be able to do. But if you go to a hospital, in most hospitals in most parts of the country, it still works about the same way as it did 10, 20 years ago. If you go to a school and watch your kids learn, the teachers are teaching and the kids are learning still about the same way they did, you know, 10 or 20 years ago. And you kind of go through these different parts of our lives, different sectors of the economy, and are arguably the most important aspects of our lives, like how we do stay healthy, or how our kids do learn, or how we manage energy, or how we move around cities, or how we think about food. Pretty important things haven't really changed that much, but are going to change a lot in this third wave, which is, you know, why I felt like it was time to write a book to kind of lay out a framework for what might happen, kind of like Toffler did for me 35 years ago, but also kind of a little bit of a playbook in terms of how to navigate that, not just if you're an entrepreneur, but just in terms of thinking about your own career, your own life, because even the nature of work is changing. Now 34% of people are part of the freelance economy, something that didn't really exist or was just marginal when I was graduating from school.
AOL co-founder Steve Case joining us. The book is The Third Wave, An Entrepreneur's Vision of the Future, a must-read. I can't read 1,000 books a year, but this one is definitely on the list, and I think it will benefit everyone. Everything is a double-edged sword in a sense, Steve. I think with so many of the pharmaceuticals, medical companies that I have worked with, it's kind of two-pronged, and I'm going to relate this to the AOL Time Warner merger and have you explain why it failed. You've got to wear at least two hats. One is, how do I perpetuate the growth of my product line or my service and make it applicable to the public? And the other part of it is the business end of it. How do I get funding? How do I end up avoiding government regulations? It's kind of two hats. Can you relate the politics of this to what you did in your attempt to have a successful result with Ted Turner, AOL Time Warner merger, and why did it fail?
Well, it failed mostly over execution, over people. I mean, the idea we had 15, 16 years ago when we announced the merger, and it still is the largest merger in history, and announced all the things we could do, like digital music and digital video and so forth. People were impressed by the possibility, but the reality is we just couldn't get the right people focused on the right priorities, working together collaboratively, particularly across different divisions. There are different silos. They're kind of doing their own thing. You know, one example is we talked about the potential for digital music. This was years before Apple launched the iPod and iTunes, and combined AOL and Time Warner. AOL was the leading internet company, and Time Warner owned the largest broadband system with Time Warner Cable and owned the largest music company with Warner Music. How could this combined company not lead the way on digital music? And the reality is they just, you know, we couldn't figure out a way to work together and make that a priority. And so in this case, Apple, you know, took on that that opportunity and ran with it, and you know, really led to the rebirth and the resurgence of Apple. So the lesson for me of the merger, and it's one of the things I talk about in the book, is that, you know, I quote Thomas Edison over 100 years ago, who said, "Vision without execution is hallucination." You know, having a big idea is important, having a vision is important, but ultimately it's how you execute, and that really comes down to, you know, people and culture.
Before we go to a break, I want to just follow up on the issue of government. You talked about the collaborative effort with government and the private sector. I'm kind of a naysayer, kind of a doomsday kind of guy. When I think of the government involved in anything, that doesn't mean that they don't have their purpose and don't execute some things correctly, although I'm having trouble articulating what they have done well. Isn't that a real problem? I'm talking regulation. I guess we're going to have to hold this till after the break. That'll be my lead question when we come back. Our guest, really thrilled to have on, Steve Case, the book, The Third Wave, An Entrepreneur's Vision of the Future, Simon & Schuster. And buy this book. What else can I say? Buy the book. We'll be back with Steve Case.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
In my line of work, I'm trying to make a difference. Not $1 billion, but I do want to be able to save for the future. So this year, I partnered with TIAA to help me map out what I should be doing. Together, we came up with a personalized plan for my finances. And now, it seems like a life of rewarding work just might pay off for a lifetime.
See how we're helping those who do good do well at the new TIAA.org. TIAA, created to serve, built to perform.
If you have sore joints, discover a breakthrough in joint health. Cosamin ASU. A unique patented formula, Cosamin ASU goes to work fast on a cellular level inside your joints. Its active ingredients are shown to inhibit specific enzymes that break down cartilage as you age, helping protect the joint cushion and cartilage important for comfortable activity. Try Cosamin ASU at Costco.com and other fine retailers.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no, we'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room, weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait, a family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-933-5775. That's 800-933-5775.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. and we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more. And we have great rates for smokers, too. So call today. 800-957-6068. 800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068.
BizTalkRadio.com.
The Financial Exchange, weekdays 10 to noon, 1120 a.m. WBNW.
Well, this is Dick Armey. I was just pleased to do such a great interview with Stu Taylor. You know, Stu Taylor to me is to talk radio as Bobby Orr is to hockey, and it just doesn't get any better than that.
All right, we're rejoined for our final segment of the morning. I wish we had another couple of hours, but I'll take this next segment. Steve Case, co-founder of America Online and highly influential in the field of technology with so many other developments, is here to join us. I encourage you to buy this book, The Third Wave, An Entrepreneur's Vision of the Future, and it is published in hardcover by Simon & Schuster. And just prior to the break, Steve, I touched upon the everything is a balance. I understand that. The negative influence of government and how restraining they may be. If you look at clinical trials with pharmaceutical companies, whom you are connected with in order to make sure a company advances with all of the interests at stake. How do you assess this?
No, I, it's a problem, and I do worry. One of the chapters of the book is called America Disrupted. I do worry that we are at risk of the nation being disrupted. I think other countries have figured out that sort of the secret sauce that sort of powered the American story now for, you know, two centuries is our pioneering spirit and innovation and entrepreneurship, and we really need to double down on that, really support the innovators who are doing interesting things that can create significant business, creates lots of jobs. I think government needs to take a fresh look at how they operate, be more flexible, be more agile, not just focused on keeping bad things from happening, but also enabling, you know, good things to happen. But as I talk about in the book, I also think it's incumbent on the innovator, even though it's frustrating and difficult, to engage with the government, because some of the sectors that most need to change, like how we think about healthcare or how we think about our, you know, kids' education or how we think about, you know, food, they are going to be regulated, and maybe the regulations need to change, but there are going to be some regulations about food safety. There are going to be some regulations about, you know, drug safety and claims and so forth. So the innovators in this third wave are just going to need to understand that's part of the dynamic of being an innovator in these spaces, just as it was for us in those early days of the AOL and the Internet, the first wave, if you will. The government did play an important role, both inventing the Internet in terms of the funding the DARPA and commercializing the Internet, breaking up the phone companies to create competition. So they did play a role there, largely constructive in terms of helping the Internet take off. But you need to make sure the government is doing the right things to enable innovation, not doing the wrong things that essentially stifle innovation because of, you know, too much red tape, too much regulation. So it's a tricky balance. It's going to become trickier in the third wave. That's one of the reasons I decided to kind of write the book, just to kind of lay out a framework to think about it.
I want to tap into the technical aspect and the methodology behind your success. You know, we're always hearing about the next big thing. Well, it seems to me, certainly not being on the level of creating anything like that, that all new ideas and results are a result of integrating or consolidating existing ideas, and bingo, you put all this together like a mix in a drink, and you have a winner. Do you see the next big thing being a big thing or a series of small things?
Well, both. I think there'll be some, you know, some big things in terms of what happens in some of these industries. But as you say, it's also a collection of smaller things. That innovation itself is usually an iterative process and people building on each other's work. And that was certainly true in the first wave with the Internet. You know, AOL did a lot of things, but there are a lot of other companies did a lot of things that really made that possible. Everybody really had to do their part. There's an African proverb I cite in the book that really kind of animated the first wave, and I think will again be important in the third wave. Which, if you want to go quickly, you can go alone, but if you want to go far, you must go together. I think that's going to be the spirit that people thinking about innovation in this third wave are going to need to adopt.
You're involved right now a little bit about what you're doing now. I know it's a passion in your life. You've achieved success in industry many times over. What are you doing right now with startup companies? How involved are you, and what advice do you have for potential startups out there?
We have an investment company called Revolution, and based in Washington, D.C., and our focus is investing in entrepreneurs all across the country. We think there's too much investor focus in places like Silicon Valley and New York, not enough in the middle of the country. So our focus, and I have a chapter in the book called Rise of the Rest, is on these building up regional entrepreneurship, both in terms of directly investing in those companies through Revolution and also championing what's happening in those cities. So twice a year, I actually go on a bus tour for visit a handful of cities and try to understand what's happening in those, the Detroit and Pittsburgh and Nashville and Madison and Des Moines and Kansas City and St. Louis and New Orleans and Baltimore. You know, these are great American cities that are showing real promise in terms of startups. So I try to do what I can to be supportive to those, you know, cities, help rally those communities to support the entrepreneurs while also investing directly through my investment firm Revolution.
It's interesting, the mindset of a lot of people in business. They're just instinctively combative as opposed to working together. You've certainly had your issues, your challenges. We talk about Microsoft, the fact that you either make a decision that revolves around collaboration or antagonism and constant rejection of anything that's come forth. Maybe you can use Microsoft as an example to explain how you think I hate to use the word progressive, but the fast forward thinking businessman would think about working with people as opposed to against them.
Well, it's always a mix. Obviously, entrepreneurs and anybody trying to innovate has to be passionate and be persistent and have real conviction of what they're doing, and basically not let anything stop them, and if barriers will emerge, challenges will emerge, risk will obviously be there, but you just kind of have to kind of stick with it and keep fighting. But there are times where partnerships do make sense to really accelerate your growth, and in the third wave, sometimes partnerships are going to be necessary even to get going. In terms of, you want to change, kind of how doctors work, for example, you're going to have to partner with the hospitals. You can't just drop an app in the app store and assume that you're going to revolutionize healthcare. Or same with education, you have to partner with teachers and schools just to kind of get be on the playing field. So it's going to be a little bit different mindset in this third wave, and it's always going to be a balance between pushing as the entrepreneur, anything is possible with great passion and great urgency, while also adopting a understanding of the importance of partnerships, bringing partners along, striking the right kind of win-win deals, and persevering, because I think in the third wave, just as we saw in the first wave, some of the big revolutions are going to happen in evolutionary ways and require that patience and persistence.
All right, I want to thank you. I have 100 more questions, but the show is over, and you're welcome back anytime. Really, the first
Thank you, sir. I enjoyed it.
I loved it.
You're doing.
I appreciate it. Steve Case, founder of America Online, the first tech company to go public. Don't miss this book, The Third Wave, An Entrepreneur's Vision of the Future. Stay on, Steve, as we close out. I want to welcome everyone for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. BizTalkRadio.com.